Very, very generous donation. Taking home that long sleeve T-shirt, a Blue Royale shirt. Loves Musical Antiqua, Mud Acres, Her Infant Variety, and Mel and Floyd. And we want to say thank you to everyone who's called in, everyone who's donated, everyone who's been online, and I want to say a big thank you to Chris Powers.
Yes, and thank you to you, Bert, for coming in and doing this. I could stand to do this all the live long day, but roundabout now sort of an overwhelming force takes over. It happens to me, and it's just... Yeah, it's time to head on down the old Catfish Highway, but thanks to everybody for listening in and pledging in, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Trump has clashed with Volodymyr Zelensky at the White House, with the American president bluntly telling his Ukrainian counterpart to make a deal with Russia or we're out. An angry-looking President Trump said Mr. Zelensky was not thankful for U.S. military and political support.
You're gambling with the lives of millions of people. You're gambling with World War III. You're gambling with World War III.
Mr. Trump also took umbrage with Mr. Zelensky for suggesting the U.S. will also feel the impact of Russian aggression.
We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
I'm not telling you.
Because you're in no position to dictate that. Remember this. You're in no position to dictate what we're going to feel. We're going to feel very good.
You will feel influence.
We're going to feel very good and very strong.
You will feel influence.
You're right now not in a very good position.
The two men were expected to sign a deal giving Washington access to Ukrainian oil, gas, and rare minerals, which Donald Trump described as very fair. Earlier, Mr. Zelensky said it was crucial that the U.S. should provide a security guarantee or backstop for peacekeepers to be able to uphold a truce. Hundreds of thousands of people have been protesting in towns and cities across Greece to mark 2 years since a rail disaster that killed 57 people. Demonstrators say they want justice for those who died when a passenger service collided with a freight train. In Athens, there were clashes outside Parliament. Helena Wilkinson has this report.
The sounds of explosions filled the Athens air as an earlier peaceful protest quickly turned violent. Thousands of people had gathered outside the Parliament building in the capital, one of many rallies across the country. Many have accused the government of doing too little to shed light on the causes of the tragedy. There is a widely held belief in Greece that the government has sought to cover up the role of high-ranking officials.
The head of the Africa Centre for Disease Control has condemned recent cuts by Western countries to their aid budgets. Dr. Jean Kaseya told the BBC that future pandemics would now be harder to contain, especially if they began in Africa. He highlighted how outbreaks of viruses like Ebola had been restricted due to international cooperation.
I want to send a clear message to our partners from the US, UK, and all other Western countries that please don't come to blame Africa when there will be a pandemic coming from Africa because you decide to stop funding to critical programs. Don't blame Africa.
BBC News. Forces fighting alongside the Sudanese army say they have intercepted a substantial quantity of military supplies destined for the rival Rapid Support Forces. They said the convoy was stopped in North Darfur, where the RSF has been carrying out repeated attacks on the state capital, El Fasher. The RSF denied its convoy had been attacked. Lebanon's new prime minister has demanded a full Israeli withdrawal from the south of his country. Israeli troops are remaining in five positions, despite a US-brokered ceasefire that came into force in November. Here's Lipika Pelham.
On a visit to villages in southern Lebanon, the Prime Minister Nawaf Salam said his government was gathering regional and international support to force Israeli troops to completely pull out. He promised the residents a safe return to their homes as soon as possible. Israel says it's left soldiers at five key posts in southern Lebanon to protect its own northern border because Hezbollah operatives are still active in the area. More than a year of hostilities between Israel and Hezbollah, initiated by the militant group's support of Hamas, ended with the ceasefire that has largely held.
U.S. media say President Trump will sign an executive order declaring English the official language of the United States. While English is the country's most widely spoken language, hundreds of others are used by Americans, with millions speaking Spanish at home. If signed, the order would mark the first time the U.S. has officially adopted a national language at the federal level. Microsoft has announced it's shutting down the video call pioneer Skype, nearly 22 years after its creation. The service will stop working in May, with users able to transfer their accounts to Microsoft's Teams platform. The tech giant bought Skype in 2011 for $8.5 billion. BBC News.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Just Coffee, Madison's Fair Trade Roasting Cooperative. Just Coffee buys fair trade coffee to ensure equitable conditions for coffee grower cooperatives around the world and roasts locally in small batches. More information at 204-9011 or on the web at justcoffee.coop.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Five Nines, a locally owned cloud service provider of enterprise-level IT infrastructure consulting, hosting, and management services. On the web at fivenines.com. Phone number 512-1000.
6'6" above sea level. I grab the mic because I like to take you to another mental level. Low power frequency radio modulation. The big sound from underground, another pirate station. We bring the truth to
no place. No change without struggle. No one in power ain't giving up nothing.
WORT 89.9 FM, listener-sponsored community radio, Madison, Wisconsin.
And hello, welcome to A Public Affair. I am Esty Dinor, and as you know, no doubt, this is a pledge drive edition of our show. And before I introduce Stacey Harbo to you, I have a suggestion. Why don't you get to your phone or to your computer right now and donate to us right now before we start our conversations? Because once we do, you're not going to do that. You are going to want to listen. So wortfm.org or 608-256-2001, and you can do it now and not listen to us, and you will be able to listen to Bill. There's some good news, Stacey, right? There's some generous donor who's going to help us.
Well, I know that we had some really lovely pledges in the last hour. I'm not sure if we thanked Rex from Louisville. I mean, people are listening from all over the country to hear these interviews. So we would love for you to join Lex and some of our other donors who just gave in the last hour at 256-2001. Call in your pledge. We've got volunteers standing by.
And that good news is that a generous donor has made a matching grant for new and lapsed donors for all shows during the winter fundraising drive. That person will double your pledge or your donation if you are a new or lapsed donor. And lapsed is one who hasn't given in the past 18 months. Of course, if you have pledged or donated last time, please do that again. We have a huge goal today, actually. But if you give us $300... and that donor doubles it, will be half the way to our goal. So Stacy, tell folks just about the, you know, maybe couple of the premiere that are available, and then we're going to get to our show. And I hope to have at least 5 donations by the time you're done talking about that.
Oh, I think we can definitely do that.
So we can talk with our guest,
yes,
Bill Fletcher.
That would be fantastic.
Some of you know him.
Out in the lobby right now, we have Lainey, Summer, Sarah, and Gary, who are standing by to take your call. So very friendly volunteers, and they can talk you through the process and talk to you through some of the premium gifts that we have. I think you're going to want to give at the $100 level. Like Esty said, your gift will be doubled this hour by a generous matching donor. This long sleeve t-shirt that you can get at the $100 level is a beautiful throwback design from the 80s. It is the most Madison thing I have probably seen in a long time. It's got beautiful artwork that shows the figures of people dancing to floating musical notes around a beautiful globe with a sunlit sky in the background. It's gorgeous artwork. I want to see lots of those walking around Madison this summer when we are out at festivals and enjoying all the great things that we have to offer in our community, just like the community radio station that you love to support here at WORT.
And of course, you can pledge $300 and get that shirt too. You don't have to stop at $100.
Yeah. You sure can. So yeah, definitely give us a call right now at 256-201-001. That's 608-256-2001. Give us a call before we get our conversation started. And you can always give online. We're keeping track of the folks who are giving online at WORTFM.org.
Very good. Thank you, Stacy. And I am going to go to our conversation and trust you all that we don't have to stop in 5 minutes and remind you to pledge or donate. My guest today is Bill Fletcher Jr. He has worked for several labor unions, served as a senior staff person in the National AFL-CIO. He is the former president of Trans Africa Forum, senior scholar with the Institute for Policy Studies, and he is in leadership roles in several other projects. He is the co-author with Peter Agard of The Indispensable Ally, Black Workers and the Formation of the Congress of Industrial Organizations, 1934 to 1941. Also co-author with Dr. Fernando Agapacin of Solidarity Divided, The Crisis in Organized Labor and a New Path Toward Social Justice, and the author of They're Bankrupting Us and 20 Other Myths About Union. Fletcher is a syndicated columnist and a regular media commentator on television, radio, and the web. And he's one of my favorite guests. Hello, Bill. So good to see you again.
It's great being back. It has been a while.
It's been a while. And I'm very glad to have you again. So, Bill, you and I communicated a bit just before Trump became president. And both of us voiced very serious concerns. But I must admit that I did not foresee the level and the extent of what we've been since then. Did you foresee the level of shall I say insanity that we are seeing or what?
In all honesty, Esty, yes, actually I did.
You did.
And I looked at the Project 2025 proposals that the Heritage Foundation put together, saw who was involved with that. The plot was laid out right there for us. Too many people, and in saying this, I'm not offering a criticism, but too many people thought that Project 2025 was just steam, campaign rhetoric. But I've been watching the Prince of Darkness as he has approached his throne over the last several years. And it's all there. The anger, the irrationalism, the revenge. And I think how I have felt is incredible anger at what's happening, what's being done to the country, but also anger with those that thought that the election was meaningless, that it would not matter who was elected.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of people have regrets nowadays, but it's a little too late for that. So give me a general assessment of what's been happening since he was sworn in, and where do you think we're going? Just how dangerous is it?
Very dangerous. But in order to answer this, I think we have to compare the Trump of 2017 to 2021 with today's Trump. So when Trump was elected in 2016, first of all, he did not expect to win. And he brought into office with him an assortment of people that range from General Flynn, who was briefly with him, who always reminded me of General Jack D. Ripper from the movie Dr. Strangelove. And then you had certain people like John Bolton, who were more traditional Republicans. The problem for Trump was that he brought in people who in some cases had a conscience and actually thought that the Constitution made a difference. So he learned a very important lesson. And the lesson was that he needed to bring in people that were fiercely loyal to him, that he had to feel comfortable making threats, including to members of Congress. And as the Republican Party has hardened into a hard right-wing authoritarian party, the MAGA core has evolved from being a right-wing populist movement to a fascist movement. And what they are attempting to do, much like Orbán in Hungary, is to use the instruments of constitutional democracy in order to destroy it. And they are hoping that people will be passive and that people will believe that there's nothing that really can be done. So that's a danger. The reason that I am not pessimistic is that the anti-MAGA forces in this country are definitely the majority, but they are insufficiently organized and coordinated. And that's the critical question right now. But there's absolutely no question in my mind but that the Prince of Darkness and MAGA can be defeated.
So, well, first of all, you mentioned Orban. I also want to mention Hitler, who also was elected and then within something like 50 days destroyed German democracy or whatever it was. And I want to talk with you about what you just raised, but let's first put into the picture also Elon Musk and the so-called Department of Government Efficiency, right, DOGE, and what is his role in there, and how did he become? He's not even an American, right?
He's South African.
South African racist. Billionaire, how did he become such a huge part of the picture right now? And before you answer, I do want to thank our first anonymous callers who are to a large degree union people. Really appreciate hearing from you. Thank you so much for your generous pledge. You are not new. New pledgers, so we need to hear from those of you also who have not pledged or donated in the past 18 months. Bill.
In order to understand Musk, the way to think about him is that he has become the financier of the global authoritarian right.
Mm-hmm.
He's on a mission. Now, what triggered that mission is very hard to determine, for me at least. I think that part of it is that he and other high-tech CEOs decided that the time had come to completely reorganize the state, the capitalist state, in a way where they were, in fact, these oligarchs were, in fact, the ruling forces, and that they would treat the state much as they would their own company. So they're not making any distinction between how you might fine-tune a company versus what you do with a nation state. Musk moved and clearly shifted further to the right, as did other folks after 2020. He's not like Zuckerberg, who it was late to the party, so to speak. Musk has a certain view. He also has an apocalyptic view. I'm very much into science fiction, as you may remember, Esty, and I love discussions about settling other planets and things like that. Musk really believes in that, and essentially believes that the Earth is dead, and that technology needs to be focused on settling Mars. So for him, the environmental catastrophe is almost irrelevant. What's important is building the kind of system that strengthens his role and the role of other people like him over the state, and also lays the foundation for colonization of the rest of the solar system. Now, I know for some people, this may sound absolutely nuts, and to some extent it is, but more importantly, what it is it's genocidal. Because what in effect he is saying is that billions of people can die in the name of his vision of the future.
And there's a name for that, right? I can't think of it right now, but you're not the only one who says that.
Mm-hmm.
That actually it seems like those folks think that millions and millions, billions of people dying is a good thing.
Right. It's called ecofascism.
Mm.
And some people talk about technofascism, but it's specifically ecofascism. To the extent that they see the saving of the planet, they see it in the context of the elimination of billions of people. For those that don't think that the planet can be saved, they're the ones that believe we need to abandon planet Earth. That is, those that can survive.
Yeah, yeah. I'm afraid, Bill, that we do have to stop and do some pledge wrapping because we haven't gotten another one after that first generous one. Folks, we're almost to half the show, and we have to raise, only $1,100. Stacy.
Well, goodness, hello. My name's Stacy Harbaugh, and I'm so pleased to be in the WORT studios today to talk to you a little bit about our winter pledge drive. I know it doesn't feel like winter outside right now.
Yeah, that's
it's
nice.
It's very warm and sunny, but in the studios, we are on a mission to provide excellent independent radio to you. And I know that that's why you listen. Now, I've volunteered for WORT for many years. Right now, I've got a radio show on another radio station in our community, WVMO, which is out of the city of Monona. And I wanted to share a little bit about the difference between WVMO and WORT. Now, what these two radio stations have in common is that they exist for you, for the public, to inform you, to keep you engaged and involved in our community, to let you know what's going on in our backyard. And those are such important resources for our community, is to have something in the public's interests. It's not here for the commercial interests. We're not here to serve our advertisers. We're here to serve you, the listening public. But also, I want to talk about what's different about these stations. And WORT is an independent nonprofit station. And what that means is that we're not beholden to advertisers or even to a city, to a government entity. We are here for you, by you. It's volunteers who serve on the board. It's volunteers who come in here, just like Esty does every week, to talk about issues, to talk about what's going on in our community, to frame what's happening in the news in a way that relates to us and to our values, to your values. And that independence is so valuable. You know, we're not getting money from these government sources. It really comes from you. So when you pledge, when you give us a call at 608-256-2001, or when you go online at WORTFM.org and you pledge your support, you are keeping this station independent so we can keep bringing you experts like Bill Fletcher Jr. to put the news into context. So I know that right now there's a lot of stuff in the news about an economic boycott. Some folks are staying home today. They are not buying anything from Amazon. They're not buying things from Target. They are trying to keep off of their credit cards. But I'll tell you what, even we may have buyer's remorse in this last election. We have no buyer's remorse when we give to WORT. So we hope that we'll pledge your support today. If you don't want to use your major credit card, that's fine. Today, it's just about pledging. You're just making a pledge. So we would love for you to give our volunteers out there in the lobby a call at 608-256-2001. You could chat with Lainey, Summer, Sarah, or Gary, and they can walk you through how to make that pledge and what kinds of premium gifts are available to you today. We'd love to hear from you.
Just a correction that Summer and Sarah are in the studio there.
Oh,
But I think the most important thing is that here you can hear people like Bill Fletcher, right?
Right.
Or Ilan Pappé, who we had 2 weeks ago, I mean, you won't hear them on NPR, right?
Right.
You let alone, you know, everything else, the commercial media and so on. And it is so important, even more so now. Bill, should people pledge for this station?
Well, I'm glad that you asked, because I wanted to use this as an opportunity to talk about what happened with the Washington Post this week.
Yes.
And why it's so important that people make contributions. Bezos, the owner of the Post, announced that the Post would now change its opinion page so that they would only advance opinions that were in defense of personal liberties and free markets. And he went on to say that there was no need for, nor would there be any room for, alternative opinions because people could find them elsewhere. So in effect, he's shutting down debate. And as it was, I would argue, there was insufficient debate within the Washington Post. But now he's saying even further, this is why we need alternative media. And it's really easy for you, the listeners, to sit back and have your radios on or watching this on the web. And it's free. And think, well, somebody else will pay. But the problem is, no, it actually is, we need you to pay for you to make a difference. If you want this, you can't afford to sit back, as many people do. And then if the station closes down or if there's layoffs, you can't at that point say, oh, wow, I didn't realize the situation was that tight. Well, no, it is. For all alternative media, we are in an asymmetric battle with right-wing media. Fox News and all of these other outlets have these mechanisms that we don't. They have money. They have gobs of resources. We don't. We're depending on people like you. And we need you to go online and make a contribution right now. No further hesitation. And it can be small. Think about Bernie Sanders' presidential campaigns that were relying on fairly minor contributions, but accumulated and made a difference. That's what we need for you to do right now, not in an hour, not in 5 minutes, right now.
Yes. 608-256-2001, wartfm.org. We really need to hear from many of you. We have this really big goal, $1,200 we're supposed to raise this hour. We are nowhere close to that. And on top of that, if you are a new or a lapsed caller, this generous donor who we don't know who that is, but they will double your donation. So 608-256-2001 or wartfm.org. We need to hear from you. If you appreciate hearing the kind of people that we invite to this show, and that you really won't hear elsewhere, we need to hear from you. It's like Bill said, you know, the people who did not vote in the last elections. I mean, I totally understand, right? I did not want to vote for Harris either, for Biden 2.0. But I did out of fear, and I was right, because look what's happening now. If you don't vote for us, things can get very, very serious and very, very tragic, I would say, if we lose this kind of media. So please, right now. So Bill will trust our listeners to call and get on their computers and give us the money that we need so badly. We don't get any of it. Right, Stacey?
That's no. Right. We're all no. volunteers.
You know, I've been doing it for almost 30 years. I've never
that's
made
amazing.
A penny out of this station.
Yeah, that's great.
So I'm a volunteer. I've been volunteer all this time. So
let me mention something, Estee.
Yes, Bill.
That, see, one of the things that's important about WORT and other such stations is not just access to other opinions, but really access to reliable information. Before the election, a friend of mine was doing work in North Carolina, and he encountered a number of people who, with whom he shared similar critiques of the healthcare system, the economy, et cetera. And so he asked them, well, who are you going to vote for? And they said, Trump. And he was stunned. And he said, why? He says, well, they said, you know, because the Democratic Party is controlled by pedophiles.
Oh.
And it was like, oh, my God. So the whole QAnon conspiracy theories had captured the minds of these folks. And they probably exist in a certain bubble where this kind of disinformation is repeated day in and day out. In the absence of stations like WORT, people are brought over to the dark side of the force, and they don't even know it's happening. And they start to begin to make all of these assumptions that are completely irrational. This is why it's really important for you, the listeners, to make those contributions. And look, if you can make $50 today, that's great. You can make $25, fantastic. If you can make a couple hundred, it's wonderful. But make the contribution. It's an expression of solidarity with others that are in opposition to this disastrous situation that's happening at the national and state levels.
Yeah, it does show your solidarity. It also makes it possible for the station to continue being. We just got another. Oh, how nice. We got it from Minneapolis, from Sharon St. John and Willie Becker. Thank you so much. It's great to hear from you. They are old listeners, apparently still listen in Minneapolis. They gave us a generous donation. Willie likes Mad Acres and APA Esty. Thank you very much, folks. I don't know if you are considered lapsed or not. Let's hope so, because it helps us. But
if
we
so,
need to inform. Sorry?
If not, thank you. If so, welcome back.
Yeah, I mean, either way, thank you so much. And we need to hear from the rest of you, too. So, Bill, we're going to get back to our conversation and you know, expect to hear from many more people, eh, Stacey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So, according to Arizona's Attorney General, Chris Mays, this is a coup, plain and simple. Seems to me like Mays is correct. I don't know if you want to add a whole lot to that, but what do you think?
No, I think it's absolutely true. But I think it's important to understand this did not come out of nowhere. Had it not been for a series of Supreme Court decisions, including the weakening of the Voting Rights Act, we would probably be looking at a very different outcome. The authoritarianism has been growing slowly but steadily in the United States. Increased authority for the executive branch. As I said, the end of the or a major portion of the Voting Rights Act. The growth of right-wing power at the state level, and the capture of media outlets. All of this contributed to a situation where Trump and others feel like they can get away with what they're doing. One of the problems, Esty, for so many liberals, progressives, and leftists is this sort of view that that progress is inevitable, although it may move slowly at times. So it's like, I like to analogize it to being on a one-way street. So there's no traffic coming at you. You may have to slow down. You might be able to speed up. You might have to stop for a while, but you know that you're going in one direction. Problem is, that's not the way life is. We're not in a one-way street. And we can go backwards, and that is what's happening. So people that are organized around the Prince of Darkness see themselves as reversing the winds of the 20th century. Thus we have, you know, Trump's idolization of President McKinley from the late 19th century.
Yeah, so talk about that, because, of course, Trump, I don't know if he has succeeded yet, but he wants to change the name of Mount Denali to Mount McKinley. Who is that McKinley, and why is Trump into that?
So McKinley was the president at the time of the Spanish-American War and of the beginning of the war against the Philippines in 1899. He was a racist. He sat back and did nothing when there was a armed insurrection in Wilmington, North Carolina in 1898 that overturned a progressive multiracial coalition that had won power. And McKinley saw himself on a mission from God. And he saw that mission as the expansion of the United States overseas, including but not limited to taking over the Philippines, where the United States carried out a genocidal war for about a decade. What's important in that period with McKinley and later Teddy Roosevelt is that Trump does not want to be constrained by international treaties. He wants the United States, and he in particular, to be able to do what they want to do when they want to do it. So being part of NATO for him is really irrelevant. Turning on your allies, like he's turning on Canada and Mexico, everything is transactional. So McKinley becomes his critical image. The other thing that's important there is that the renaming of the mountain to its original name, that is the name of the indigenous, the issue for Trump is that he and others are trapped in a settler colonial myth that there was nothing of any significance here before Europeans arrived. And therefore, the European settlers need to be heralded for what they brought about. And all of this ends up centering around the image of one William McKinley.
Yeah.
Who was assassinated, by the way.
Yeah. Well, Stacy, we do have two people we need to thank. We want to thank. We want to thank you too, though. We're still very, very far from our goal. Who are the people who don't owe pledged? We actually haven't gotten any donations yet online.
Actually, we just had one come in just a second ago.
Yet.
I'm so happy to thank these donors. Yes, our pledge gift came from Fort Atkinson.
Yay.
Shout out to our Fort Atkinson listener and other listeners from our Madison listening area. Phyllis Hasbrook helped us reach our goal. She's from Madison. She loves Democracy Now.
We have not reached our goal.
We're on our way. We are on our way. She's helping us get there. So Phyllis loves folk music as well. And also Dan from Madison. Thank you so much, Dan, who increased his monthly gift, which is lovely. Dan likes to listen to A Public Affair, especially on Thursday and Friday. Democracy Now! And Jazz in the Afternoon. I like Jazz in the Afternoon too, Dan. That's a really good gift. So from Fort Atkinson to Madison, we've got some local callers, local pledgers online helping us to inch toward that goal. And I hope that you can do that right now as well. Give us a call at 608-256-2001. Punch on that extension 1 and you can talk to one of our lovely volunteers who will take your pledge. And like I said, it's a pledge. So if you want to pledge today and pay later, we have options for that. And we'd love to talk to you more about that. We got another one coming in the door. How lovely, Essie, who just gave that gift.
I'm also seeing Teresa from Manitowoc. And who? I didn't see anyone. I see the person from Fort Atkinson. Thank you. And thank you very much, Teresa, too. And I need to thank Elizabeth Lindor, I think, a little hard to read, from McFarland. Thank you very much for calling from McFarland and for giving us a generous pledge here. She likes Musica Antiqua, which, you know, there's such a diversity of programming on this station. Do you want to say something about that quickly?
Oh, that's what makes WORT so great, is that we do have a diverse lineup of programs from music to talk, current events, local events, and things that have global impact for certain. And we're so excited that some of our gifts are going to be matched today, thanks to a generous donor who's going to be matching gifts for new and lapsed donors. So that means that our donor from Fort Atkinson will have their gift matched. Let's see, we've got, you already mentioned Teresa from Manitowoc, who's a regular donor, A Public Affair, 8 o'clock Buzz, Melon Floyd is what Teresa likes to hear from Manitowoc. We have another donor from the Madison area, Ro and Keith. Gave today, and they like to hear A Public Affair, Mel and Floyd, and Democracy Now! Regular donors, Ro and Keith, thank you so much.
And thank you so much.
Gift.
Yeah, Ro and Keith, really appreciate hearing from all of you. We're still way, 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 way far from our goal. We have only 16 minutes or so. We need to hear from so many more of you at 608-256-2001 or wartfm.org. If you appreciate this conversation, and I wish we didn't have to stop and do these pledge wraps, if you appreciated hearing from Professor Ilan Pappé 2 weeks ago, if you appreciate hearing from all these people that we bring here that really you do not hear elsewhere, we need to hear from you right now. So, Bill, speaking of settler colonialism, the 42-day ceasefire of the first phase of the Gaza deal will end tomorrow. According to the agreement, the ceasefire will continue as long as negotiations over the second phase of the deal are taking place. In the meantime, Trump came up with his fantastic plan to make Gaza into the Riviera of the Middle East, cleansed out of its inhabitants. And of course, we all have seen that really incredible video. What do you think? Where are we going? What are your thoughts about all of that?
You know, as crazy as this may sound, Esty, I think that the Pope should have relocated himself to Gaza.
Mm.
And at the beginning of this conflict, and opened up an office. I think that the, and I actually mean this quite sincerely, that I deeply worry that the Israeli government will find some way to continue or to restart the war, just as they are illegally bombing Syria at this moment, even though there have been no attacks on Israel from Syria, but these are all provocations. And clearly, Trump is going to do nothing about that, nothing in a positive way. It's really remarkable, and this is one of the saddest things about the November election, that there was any Arab or Muslim in the United States that could possibly have believed that Trump would have been better for the people of Palestine than Harris. I mean, it's one thing for individuals to have sat out the election and just say, in light of what Biden did, and in light of the failure of Harris to differentiate herself sufficiently from Biden, we're not gonna vote. I understand that, even though I wouldn't agree, I absolutely understand that. But for anybody to have endorsed Trump was a complete misreading of history and this moment. So I have my fingers crossed, and I am hoping that this truce, this ceasefire, can last longer. The problem is, I don't see who the honest broker is that can compel the Israelis at this point to hold back. It's certainly not the United States.
Yeah. I want to ask you about wokeness, and then I do want to get to what needs to be done, what can be done, what we should do. We do have some people to thank, though. I have a gift from an anonymous, another Fort Atkinson person. Great to hear from Fort Atkinson today. Thank you so much. That person likes Public Affairs, Democracy Now!, and the jazz programs. Who do you have, Stacey?
Yes, another new donor from the Madison area.
Yay.
Diana, thank you so much, Diana, for calling or for pledging on the web. Diana loves to listen to Earth Riot Radio and the Access Hour. Thank you. That's a new donor, Diana, so your gift will be matched.
And we need so many more of you. By the way,
we also had a very generous donation. Thank you so much, Kathy, who's a regular donor from the Madison area. Thank you so much, Kathy. We really love seeing your gift to help us climb toward our goal. Kathy always likes to hear Esty's take on things, and that's why we tune into a public affair for your hour. Of course, you bring such vibrant guests and bringing folks, experts from a national stage to our little radio station here in Madison.
Yeah.
That's right. So that's why Kathy pledged. That's why we hope that you will also pledge either online at WORTFM.org or on the phone at 608-256-2001. I mean, now I know it's not about the gifts, It's not necessarily about the premium gifts, but I've been volunteering for WORT for many years. And I got to say, WORT has upped their listener gift game. The gifts are amazing this year. They are really fun, trendy, cool stuff. So I hope that you can go to WORTFM.org. There's a huge donate button at the top. Please peruse some of these gifts that you could get as a thank you for your pledge. But of course, we know that the best gift is independent community radio, and that's why we listen.
Yeah, and actually many of the people who have pledged so far have not asked for a gift, though, you know, at least that T-shirt is very lovely, and I haven't checked the other things, but I'm sure they are very interesting. We are slogging towards our goal, but we are only 2/3 of the way to it, and we have less than 10 minutes left. So, folks, 608-256-2001 or wortfm.org. We need to hear from you now. I'm going to continue talking with Bill because that's what we are here to do. But we need $400-$500 in the next 8 minutes or so. So please, don't disappoint us. It's very important, really. It is crucial to the existence of the station, especially now that PCB money is probably going to dry up if it hasn't already. So, Bill, as we trust our listeners to keep calling and pledging online, the war against wokeness, which is really the war on people of color, people whose sexuality is not necessarily I'm a man, I'm a woman, on women, on disabled folks, also on kids, really on the planet and on the citizens of this country. How do you understand that?
So one thing I think we need to do, Esty, is to not become defensive when we hear the right attack so-called wokeness. We should remind people that it's better to be awake than asleep.
Yeah.
And that there was a movement right before and in the early stages of the Civil War called the Wide Awakes. And these were mainly younger people, large numbers all over the North, who were supporting Lincoln in opposition to the Confederacy. That is our legacy. We are, or should be, the Wide Awakes, and we should be very proud of that. I think that the right has played to the confusion of a transitional era. That's what we're in. We're in a transitional era where there's a lot of things are not settled, a lot of old rituals, including gender roles, racial roles, et cetera, are up in the air. And the right plays to that insecurity. And they mock us by talking about the wokeness, whereas what we're talking about and should be very explicit in talking about is the expansion of democracy. That's who we are. The right wants to contract and constrict democracy or restrict it. We're the ones that want to expand it. We're the ones that are wide awake. And they, in fact, are asleep. And that is what we should mock. They're the ones that are asleep. They're the ones that are lost. They're the ones that are in a fog. Maybe that's what we should call them, the foggers.
Yeah, I love that, and I feel that way too. I mean, wokeness, what's wrong with that? That is and that will take us to our next question and segment possibly, but we do have some people to thank. So why don't you start, Stacey, while I'm looking at the latest?
Absolutely. More pledges from our Greater Madison listening area. Gary from Oregon, thank you so much, Gary, for calling in.
Thank you.
We're so happy to get your pledge. Gary likes to listen to APA, a public affair with SD. He also likes to listen to The Current Transmission and Entertainment, long-running jazz show. Love that. And we've got another pledge from the website, from WORTFM.org, Timothy from Wanakee. Timothy loves to hear a public affair on Thursday and Friday and also listens to Letters and Politics. Thank you, Timothy.
Thank you very much. And I have one from Deborah, who's also from Madison and a first-time pledger. So thank you so much, Deborah. Your
gift will be matched.
Yeah, your gift will be matched. And Deborah likes whatever is on when I turn on the radio. That's pretty much true for me, too.
That's great.
There's so much good stuff on this station. And we have another one from Barbara Furstenberg from Madison. And thank you so very much for your pledge. She likes STD Noor, Tony Castaneda, and Salamat. Yeah, Tony and I will
combined many years of service to the station. I wonder how much it would be combined for the two of you.
Yeah, and we like to slug it up.
Oh, that's true. I'm 48 years old. I think your combined experience would probably be more than...
Yeah,
the years I've been alive
sure.
between the two of you.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah. We also got a pledge from David Williams from the Peregrine Forum. Thank you so much, David. And we got one from the disgruntled person who is from Broadhead, Wisconsin. Great, great. We really are hearing today from people from all over. And let's see, the disgruntled person likes ST, Mellon Floyd, Democracy Now!, Labor Radio, and they say ST's program today is the best thing I've heard in years on radio, TV, print. Thank you for your program. There's more. Wart is my go-to place. I appreciate Wart so much. My wife and I started listening to Wart about 50 years ago, and we just celebrated our anniversary. Hey,
that's cool.
Congratulations.
Three cheers.
Very
Three cheers
good.
To you.
And thank you so much. We so appreciate hearing from you. We're getting close.
We're so
we
close.
Need more. We have only, oh my goodness, we have only about 3 minutes, Bill, which I think is kind of criminal, but what do we do? 3 minutes for that. What needs
what
to be done now?
Yes, yeah, so there's a number of things that we need to do immediately. So the first thing is the principle of non-cooperation. There's no room for bipartisanship with these fascists. We have to take them on. We have to stand in opposition to them, not excuse them away, not get passive, not get fatalistic. We have to resist. Second thing is that if you're not in an organization, join one right away. If not today, then tomorrow. But join an organization that's engaged in the fight and actually take on some work. It can be limited work, it can be extensive work. But organizations that are out there, groups like the Working Families Party, the Sierra Club, many unions are actively involved in this. Third, we need to be collaborating. This is not a fight that only one organization can take on. And finally, there's an organization to help form called Standing for Democracy, which is a worker-focused anti-fascist group. We believe it's critically important to engage workers, working-class people, in taking on this fight against the far right. We need to get unions, worker centers, and other groups engaged in this fight right now. There's no time to wait. It's not like things are going to get better, and anybody that thinks, well, we can wait till 2026 or 2028. Let me tell you, Esty, I have a bridge for them to buy in New York.
Yeah.
And I'll give it to them cheap.
Yeah, yeah. What is the name of the organization again?
Standing for Democracy.
And you're involved, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm a co-founder of it.
Yeah, okay. So we all will look it up. We have about one more minute to get more pledges. We're almost there. Who do we want to thank now, Stacey?
Richard from Madison. Thank you so much, Richard, for calling in. Richard listens to A Public Affair, Global Revolutions, and Tropical Rhythms. A wonderful Saturday reggae mainstay. Love it. And another anonymous donor from outside of Madison helping us to inch toward our goal. Thank you so much for calling.
In this minute, we need... here's another one. Let's see if we made it. And this is, again, this is from an anonymous who says, Estee's show, Democracy Now!, A Current Affair, and Mad Acres. Thank you so much, my friend. But we do have 30 more seconds for you to pledge. If you pledge after that, it goes to the Funny Boys, and we need it to get to us. Bill, you have half a minute for last words, if you want to take it. Otherwise, we'll just thank you.
I think that, again, the listeners need to make the contributions right now.
Yeah.
That this station is invaluable. We can't wait, and we cannot wait for other people to step forward in our place. Do it now.
Bill, thank you so much for joining us today. Great to see you. We'll talk again. We won't wait so much as we have. I don't know why we have, but great to have you as usual. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Take care now.
Thanks. And we also want to thank Pizza Bruta. I guess there's some pizza waiting for us. And the people who helped us today, who are...
Stacey Harbaugh out in the lobby, Lainey, Gary, Adrian in the studio, Summer and Sarah, and of course, Esty, our fearless host.
Oh, thank you so much. We can still get it if you did it like 30 seconds ago. Thank you very much to all of you who pledged and donated. We did make a goal, but it's okay if we exceed our goal. So thank you so much. We'll talk again next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WORT Madison.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us, as always, the man who knows everything, Mr. Smart and Pants.
Hi.
Hi.